Friends, our scripture reading today comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and it comes from the Message translation. I invite you to read along with me silently in your bulletin. Hear these words from Ephesians chapter 1. That's why when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring of love to all the followers of Jesus, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I'd think of you and give thanks. But I do more than thank, I ask. Ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power, exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, friends, Andrew isn't here this morning, so I can tell you a secret. There are some Sundays when I'm going to preach and there's an anthem from the choir, and Andrew leans over to me right before I go up, and he says, "Good luck." And this, I felt Andrew do that this morning, even though he's not here. So I'm so grateful for our choir and that very moving piece. If you were here during Holy Week, I hope you were able to join us for one of our services this past week. It was a phenomenal week. I'm so grateful to Katie and Bonnie and Don and Julie and so many who gave their gifts and talents to lead us in worshiping God throughout the week. We had a very powerful Palm Sunday service and then an excellent Maundy Thursday service right here in the sanctuary where we walked through the Last Supper and Christ's crucifixion, and we ended by stripping the altar. And then that all led up to such a wonderful Easter Sunday. Some of you were out there with us for Easter sunrise service in the park. We were there with Noonan Chapel United Methodist Church and Noonan Presbyterian, just celebrating the resurrection with the coming of the sun. And many of you were here at 8:30 and 11 o'clock, and we had a magnificent Easter service in here. We had folks process in with the bells to begin our time of worship to usher in the Holy Spirit in our midst. We had a brass quintet that played. We had children's voices lifted up, and then Andrew preached one of the best Easter sermons I have ever heard. I'm still chewing on it. It was excellent. And if you were here at 11, you know well, the sanctuary was absolutely full. I had to sit up here. There wasn't a single seat down there for me to go in, so I just looked at the back of Andrew's head as he preached. Make a note now. Go to the 8:30 service if you want to choose where to sit. Just go ahead and pencil that in. It's a good problem to have, and a wonderful and glorious day that was. Triumphant celebration of the resurrection. Christ is risen. It can still happen, not on Easter Sunday, folks. I don't know if you felt this way during our reading, but Paul's letter to the Ephesians is absolutely electrifying. It talks all about the wonders of this resurrection and what it means for us, this resurrection reality. And I love the Message translation that we read from today. Paul is praying that the church can grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that Christ has called us into. And he said, God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule, and not just for the time being, but forever. He's in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. And then I love this part. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church, us. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. I got chills the first time I read that line. That is the resurrection reality. Christ has been raised and seated on the throne to rule all things and set them right, and he invites us to be a part of it, be a part of making all of creation new again. And friends, that resurrection reality is where we set up shop. We make camp here as followers of Jesus. That is our home. Even now, Christ is seated on that throne, weaving new life into everything. And we sang it this morning in our hymn. Y'all sang it beautifully. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Wow. The resurrection, the promise of redemption and new life that God offers to the world. We truly are an Easter people. This is where we find our home. And it's a wonderful thing to celebrate on Easter Sunday. Well, I want to tell you guys a story, and I promise it's related. I grew up on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and right off the shore, not too far, there are barrier islands. And one of those is Cat Island. One day, my dad took me and some cousins out to go camping on Cat Island. And so we took the boat out, we dropped anchor and grabbed our cooler and our tent and set it all up, but we were itching to get in the water, and so as soon as we could, we made a beeline. I'm sure we got very sunburnt. And we swam, and we played. We got salt water up our noses. We threw soggy Cheetos to the seagulls. We played every good water game you can think of, sharks and minnows, Marco Polo, anything you can imagine with a waterlogged Nerf ball. We did it. But then, sometime later, one of us happened to stop and look up, and we realized that we no longer saw the boat. And we no longer saw the campsite. Without our knowing, there was a current that had been dragging us down along the coastline, away from where we had intended to be. And so we started to make our way back, and it took us a lot longer than what we expected. And when we got back, my dad, of course, he gave us an earful. He had been worried sick about where we had been. But then he sat us down by the fire, and we roasted some hot dogs and got our fishing poles ready. It had never been our intention to wander from camp, but the current had taken us anyway. Well, I don't know about you, but my experience this last week wasn't so different. I had this incredible mountaintop Easter worship experience where I felt like I was home. It was a spiritually thin space for me. I experienced yet again the power of the resurrection, the joyful good news of being a part of God's household, participating in God's redemption of all the world, all things being made new. It was like we were all sitting by the fire in the heart of that campsite, warmed and assured by the Holy Spirit that indeed the risen Christ ruled the day. And then Monday arrived. And maybe you still had a healthy glow from Easter Sunday and from remembering the resurrection story, but maybe you also had to go grocery shopping. And you walked into Publix and got sticker shock. Why are groceries so expensive now? $8 for a box of Fruit Loops. True story. And Tuesday rolled around and you went back to work, maybe. And while you're there, you missed a call from your insurance company because they processed your payment to your doctor's visit wrong. And so when you get home, you're making dinner and you're on the hold with the insurance line and your child's watching Frozen 2 for the 100th time. And then when you have a moment after dinner, you scroll through the news on your phone and there's a headline about a horrible violent crime. And another headline about the election and a controversial quote that a candidate said. And another one about the loneliness epidemic that's plaguing our country. And another one about the economy and how much the future is looking grim. And by the time Wednesday arrives, someone mentions Easter to you and you say, "Oh yeah, that was this past Sunday, wasn't it?" That current pulls us. We look up and around and we realize that we can't see the campsite anymore. It's funny, in the Old Testament, the most commonly word used for sin is the Hebrew word chata. And it means missing the mark or missing the path. It doesn't refer to someone who's a mustache-twirling villain. It refers to the one whom the current has pulled away, the sheep who has wandered. Barbara Brown Taylor, who's a famous theologian and preacher from right here in Georgia, she talks about sins, plural, being these individual choices that we make that hurt our relationship with God and hurt our relationship with our neighbor. But she also talks about sin, singular, with a capital S. And this capital S sin is a force at work in the world that acts on us. It is a current that pulls us away from our home, pulls us away from the love of God and love of neighbor, and instead pulls us toward selfishness, hatred, greed, indifference, fear. And as you may know from experience, that current is strong. There are so many things in our world that pull us away from who we are meant to be as children of God. Harmful things. A news cycle that keeps us anxious and afraid. Hateful words on social media shouted as if through a megaphone to strangers far away when in reality it's someone that lives right down the street. Terrible acts of war that leave communities absolutely shattered and broken. Loneliness and isolation that leave us feeling overwhelmed, bitter, and hopeless. And as a matter of fact, sometimes we are pulled so far away that it seems impossible that God's resurrecting power still rules the day. And we join in with the lamenting voice in the book of Psalms that says, God, how can so much evil prosper? How could the world possibly be put to rights as twisted and messed up as it is? I can't see the campsite anymore, God. Where are you? But friends, there is good news for us as the Easter people. Although that current is strong, sin does not win. We remember that Christ has been lifted on the throne and rules all things. Through Christ, through the resurrection, and through the Holy Spirit, God has the power to change even the flow of the current itself. For the next few weeks, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. And this is a letter from Paul to the church in Ephesus, and it is absolutely perfect for us as a post-Easter Sunday people, because the whole letter is about remembering the story of the resurrection, this resurrection reality, remembering that God has won, and what that means for us as the church to live into that reality. And you may hear us mention Eugene Peterson a lot over the next few weeks. He's written this great book, Practice Resurrection, A Conversation on Growing Up in Christ. And in it, he talks about how resurrection is a practice that requires our daily attention. Kind of like practicing medicine or practicing law. It takes a lot of work. It takes intentionality. And spoiler alert, there are two steps that are always going to be a part of that practice. We never graduate beyond these two resurrection steps. And the first step is to repent. And the second step is to follow Jesus. Now, to repent means to recognize where you are and to turn. We acknowledge that we have missed the mark and look back toward that resurrection reality that God has called us into. It requires us to stop and realize that we have lost sight of the campsite. And then the next step is to follow Jesus. We remember who sits on the throne in deep heaven, whose authority we follow above and beyond any earthly authority, who offers us joy and new life that we cannot receive anywhere else. And we follow back to the campsite and warm ourselves by that fire. This is the pattern of practicing resurrection. We repent and then we follow. And we do both of these practices each time we come to the table to receive Holy Communion. In confession, we repent. We recognize where we have missed the mark, where we have wandered, where we have drifted. And then we again follow Jesus. You've heard the words maybe many times. You'll hear them again today. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And friends, what is most amazing about this holy sacrament, this gift, is that when we receive it, the Holy Spirit moves and we receive not just God's forgiveness and mercy, but also God's transformative grace. And a miraculous thing happens. The current no longer pulls us away from camp, but instead starts to pull us toward it. Through a power so much stronger than our own, we are pulled back toward that resurrection reality. We are shaped to be more and more like Christ, and we look to Christ as the head of our church, listening for where he is calling us to go next. As we approach the table to receive together, we are invited to return home. Let us prepare our hearts so that we may repent and follow. Amen.